Mr. President and members of the Institution of Electrical Engineers, in affording this opportunity of paying tribute to your great countryman, Oliver Heaviside, your institution has done me an honor which I deeply appreciate. The influence of great thinkers does not stop at national boundaries. Their message is to the world, and it is fitting that the world pay tribute to them and to the nations from which they come. The worldwide range of Heaviside's influence upon the science and art of electrical communication is especially clear. He emphasized the role of metallic circuits as guides rather than conductors of alternating currents. He developed in complete form the differential equations which describe the behavior of guided waves. He discussed clearly and in detail the causes of line distortion and suggested various methods of alleviating it. He even invented much of the language which is basic to communication engineering today: inductance, impedance, attenuation, to mention only three outstanding words. These ideas and these words are used the world over. Heaviside was also a great teacher. Those who understood and appreciated his writings were influenced profoundly. The Bell system has had its full share of such students through whom his teachings have found applications in the art of communication. In the early 1890s, John Stone Stone was one such pupil. A little later came George A. Camel. He shares with Michael I. Pupin the credit for working out in practical terms one of the things Heaviside suggested: the use of loading coils to reduce line attenuation. Later still came John Carson, who regarded himself as the apostle of Heaviside, just as Heaviside had regarded himself as the apostle of Maxwell. Carson's book on electric circuit theory and the operational calculus, in which he recast Heaviside's operational methods in the form of integral equations, is widely used. I, too, owe a personal debt to Heaviside, for I was one of the many who found inspiration in his work, especially during the years when I was occupied with the development of continuously loaded submarine cable. The interest of the Bell system and Heaviside's ideas regarding loading goes back to very early days. As far back as April 1891, John Stone Stone wrote a report in which he refers to Mr. Heaviside's conditions of non-distortion. In it, he computed the amount of inductance which would render the New York-Boston toll line distortionless and stated that the object of the report was to show the desirability of experimenting with this artificial inductance along the line. From this time on, loading continued to be the object of numerous reports and investigations. At the start, the nature of the problem was only partially understood. But by the spring of 1894, Stone proposed a form of bimetallic conductor which revealed a clear understanding of the problem. There is little doubt that he was aided in arriving at this understanding by the final and most lucid paper on loading which Heaviside published in November 1893. A few years later, Heaviside's vision of the loaded line became a reality. Not so far as landlines are concerned in the continuously loaded form to which Stone devoted most of his attention, but by inserting coils at intervals as worked out independently by Campbell and Pupin. It was one of the great milestones of telephony. In fact, by about 1920, loading had been installed on some 300,000 circuit miles of long-distance telephone circuits in America. With the advent of carrier telephony, the need for loading on long-distance circuits has decreased, but even so, by 1949, approximately 20 million loading coils had been installed on Bell system circuits. Continuous loading has also been of great interest to us, especially in the application of permalloy to make possible a great advance in the art of submarine cable telegraphy. All of this has resulted from a suggestion of Heaviside's, the development of which we have pursued substantially without interruption since 1891. To emphasize the esteem in which Heaviside was held in our early days, I shall read an excerpt from a letter written in 1894 by the president of the American Telephone and Telegraph Company. Referring to the book Electromagnetic Theory, he wrote, "It is a good book all the way through. The way in which Mr. Heaviside brings his propositions forward and states them, and the reason he gives for them, show that he has brought great patience and intelligence to bear on the subject. Time has only served to enhance the esteem in which Heaviside was then held, and to justify the many hours of patient study which have been devoted to his writings by succeeding generations of our engineers.